just everything that's happening in this world. It's loud. And I feel like maybe it was always there, but never talked about. And I feel like now there is a, I've said it earlier, a permission to talk about it and ask for the help that you need, because help is available.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 11, Episode Number 17.
Well, welcome to See, Hear, Love. And today we're taking a moment to reflect on our own mental health, on what we're seeing across Canada in regards to mental health struggles. And we're going to share our own personal stories of mental health challenges and encourage ourselves and others to reach out to those who are struggling. Sound good? Sound good? All right. Well, I'm glad we're here together, new and old friends. So why don't we do a quick introduction so we can get to know each other a little bit more. So Anne, you. And Miranda.
I'm Anne. I live in British Columbia. I'm a pastor out there. I'm also wife to Carlos. I have two amazing teenage kids.
Wow.
We have a lot of fun with our golden doodle. But I'm glad to be here today.
Amazing. Sharon Witten.
Hey, Sharon Witten, pastor here in Toronto, Canada. Two kids. Loving life, sending one to university in the fall. My husband and I also oversee a network of a fellowship of churches and ministries. So yeah, that's me.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm Helen Burns, and I am delighted to be back. Yeah. I am the wife of my childhood sweetheart, John Burns. Certainly not his mother, but we've been married for 51 years and going strong, more in love than ever. I have three beautiful daughters, 8 grandchildren. We pastored a church for 35 years, transitioned. It just celebrated its 40th anniversary. We're in Vancouver and loving life.
Amazing. Yeah. Glad to have you back.
Good to be back.
And Karina Shea.
Yes, my name is Karina Shea. I'm the lead pastor at Parkway Forest Community Church right in Toronto, North York. Married to one man and no kids of our own, but everyone else is passionate about the next generation, mentoring young adults and youth. Amazing. And just thankful to God for all that he's given me the opportunity to do.
Amazing. Well, I so appreciate that you're all here, especially for this topic and conversation about mental health. And so, like, Helen and Sharon, I know that in the work you do and your travels, you travel all across Canada and the United States. What are you seeing as far as mental health challenges when you're talking to women after you speak or you're connecting over lunch and dinner? What are you seeing as far as the struggles that they're having?
The big question.
I'm seeing a lot of different things. There's a lot of anxiety in this season, a lot of fear of the future. I think there was a lot of trauma regarding, you know, some of the disruption around COVID, post-COVID realities. So just a fair amount of fear, anxiety, and just kind of uncertainty about the future, and that really causing different ones to have a bit of a crisis, whether that's in identity, whether that's in just their day-to-day functioning. But that's, yeah, those are some of the things that I'm seeing. I don't know what...
I couldn't agree.
So anxiety, big one. Okay.
I couldn't agree more. I feel like there is just almost like it's become the water that we're swimming in and the air that we breathe, that it is just so loud. The only good thing that I can say about it is I feel like here at the table today, it feels more permission, if you will, to talk about it.
Yeah. Yes.
I think earlier, like, I've been around a lot longer than you, and I realized that we didn't talk about it. We didn't know how to go, and we just were ashamed that we felt this. But today, I am grateful that it feels like there's avenues of communication, and that is so important. But I would say anxiety and the trauma and what has happened is at an all-time high.
Wow. Absolutely.
Anne, are you agreeing? Can Karina?
Yeah, I was writing down some notes because especially fear of the future, because the present feels so difficult to many. And so I spent most of my time in women's ministry. So these stories are coming up very often.
Yeah.
But I'm noticing that this type of fear and anxiety is starting at a younger age.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like the generations are passing their fear and anxiety down. That's just one of my observations.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. You know, more and more, I think the world is trying to tell the next generation who they should be, what they should do, how they should do it. And I think not knowing what the future holds, hearing all these other voices, not being able to parse out the voice of God in the midst of that has become really challenging. And I think that's creating anxiety in the next generation. Everybody just wants to know what's next. And I think that we have to continually remind ourselves and each other that God holds the future and that we're secure in that.
Absolutely.
You know? But I do agree the language we have now to identify what we're going through is so different than what I experienced even as a young person.
Are you seeing the same or more depression happening? I know that anxiety and depression are kind of, you know, side by side, but are you seeing that too as far as women, with women?
You know what, I think maybe it was always there, but there wasn't permission to talk about it. I do feel, it feels way louder to me today. I feel like the, and I think that it's exactly right, that the fear of the unknown, we want to be able to anchor, and so many things in the world have been upended, things that we were certain about, just the political sphere, the, you know, just everything that's happening in this world, it's loud. And I feel like maybe it was always there, but never talked about. And I feel like now there is a, I've said it earlier, a permission to talk about it and ask for the help that you need, because help is available. And I don't think you're looked down on if you have the challenge. You're actually invited to have the conversations.
So what I'm hearing is that we're looking at anxiety that we're seeing across Canada, fear, some depression, obviously stress. I mean, those are incredible things, as we're saying, it's loud. When you are meeting with these women, speaking with these women, young people, what kind of advice are you giving? What are you sharing to people when you're saying it is loud and people are still, I believe, traumatized over the pandemic, traumatized over a lot of things that are happening in the world, and our mental health, you know, concerns are at a high. What do you say? And what do you say to these women who are like, what do I do? I'm really struggling.
Yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge. So I always, let's say I was, we were in a conversation and she's sharing something. I actually say, well, I'm not the professional. And I'm pointing people to resources that they can, you know, go to a counselor or go to a therapist, or depending on what the story is and what the case is. Sometimes she's supporting her spouse or a partner that is going through depression. And then that's having an impact on her. And so we need to point them to the right, the kind of the right resources. But one of my number one questions is, how are you caring for yourself? So what are your personal spiritual practices? What are the practical rhythms that you have in your life? It's almost easy to go, oh yeah, I'm praying, I'm reading my word, I'm listening to worship music. So there's that component, but I also address, like, are you going out for a walk? Are you getting some fresh air? Are you taking some vitamins? Like some really practical things. Do you have hobbies? When is the last time for, like, young moms, you've had an adult conversation? You know, are you having some fun in your life and doing things that you enjoy? Like, those kind of conversations are really important. The other part, for we live on the West Coast, and so it's really gloomy for 4 months of the year. And so there's some practicality as well. Is have you gone to, like, get some sunshine? Sometimes you need to just go somewhere where there's sunshine, or there's something called a happy lamp. So it's this duet of the practical and the spiritual meld.
That's good. Karina, so for you, same things, or what would you say to young people who are really struggling?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I ask too is, who are you talking to? Do you have a friend? Do you have a mentor? Is there an adult in your life? Is there a pastor you can talk to? Have you seen your doctor? Have you sought out professional help? I also ask questions like, when was the last time you opened the curtains? Opened a window for some fresh air? Really being honest, you know, encouraging honesty and transparency, because in our culture these days, you know, there's so many curated selves out there in social media. You know, are you just being honest and talking out loud to other people, but also to God? that you're going through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sharon, you're like, yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I'm like, yes, because there's so many, I mean, if we're thinking about this crisis, particularly even in the next generation, the volume of social media consumption and comparing oneself to someone that's living a completely different experience halfway across the world can affect well-being. And I think one of the things I was thinking about when you guys were sharing was just on community and the importance of community. Mm-hmm. So yeah, not isolating, getting, you know, having a good conversation with a good friend and just the need for that. And I can see that in my own kids, you know, if you're thinking about the next generation. Yeah.
Absolutely. I social media, and you know, it wasn't around when I was younger, but I look at my grandchildren or I look at just the world that we live in. I think you talk about going for a walk or, and I believe in all, I'm like, put your phone away, just put it away, fast from it for 24 hours or for 6 hours, whatever you can do. But I do think that voice is, it can be, I mean, there's positive aspects to it, and I believe there's so much good that can be in it, but so much of it is, if you are just scrolling and you're not living your life, that is dictating where your thoughts are going.
Absolutely.
And the negativity, it's overwhelming. Mm. And I do think our young people have a much greater battle with that than I ever understood. We had to go outside and play. I mean, if it was raining, so what? My mom used to say, go play outside. I'm like, it's raining. She goes, well, you're not made of sugar. Go play. Yeah. And so that was my life, but I think that there was a health to that.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing, you know, there's mental health challenges, but there's really good advice and things that we can do to choose to help when we're anxious, when we're afraid, when things get loud. Okay. Looking forward to our conversation after the break, because when we're going to take a short break right now to show you how you can access prayer 24/7 if you're struggling, share resources that will inspire you and help you grow in your faith, and how you can join our See, Hear, Love community. And when we come back, we're going to share our personal stories of mental health and how we have navigated through these challenges.
I've been fighting depression for years, and some days are harder than others. Your prayers are helping me find peace and a glimmer of hope. You were there for me, renewing my mind with the Word of God.
Are you ready to see God's faithfulness, hear His truth, and love like Jesus? Download your free See, Hear, Love Bible study guides, created for women who long to grow deeper in faith, identity, and purpose. With a variety of inspiring guides to choose from, you'll find real stories, honest conversations, and biblical truth that speaks to your heart. Perfect for personal study or gathering with your small group. Visit seehearlove.com/Bible studies to download today.
See, Hear, Love is more than just a show.
This is the most diverse and inclusive women's show in Canada. You sought to make this space reflective of the kingdom of God.
Donate so we can keep creating inspiring content, host meaningful events, and expand our reach.
If you look around this table, you see so many skin colors, you see so many different age groups, and I think that's so beautiful.
Your support is vital to the continued growth and impact of See, Hear, Love. Visit seehearlove.com/donate. Well, we hope you join us, support us, and journey with us. Well, there are a lot of demands that we put on ourselves and others put on us. And so how does this affect our mental health? And maybe this is a time now to share our own personal stories of our own struggles with mental health. And I think during the break, we nominated you, Helen, to go first.
Start with me. I'll bare my soul.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to just go to a recent situation, because I'm someone who thought, I don't struggle with this. I just feel like I can get up, keep going, you know, stoic, and just keep fighting. Mm-hmm. But the year before was a really, really hard year, harder than anything I've ever experienced. And it caught us by surprise, and it, you know, nothing's going to take me out. I'm going to keep going. But so I just kept powering through. We went through a really big battle with one of our kids, and thank God she's healthy now and strong. But after she was kind of doing better, you know, this marks a year of when she really took a turn into getting healthy and strong. And I'm so proud of her. She's absolutely my hero. But about 4 months later, I had a physical crash, like a crash. And I know that it was very connected to my mental health. It just was, but it manifested manifested in my body just completely not cooperating. And that's never happened to me before. And I found myself, I remember one day coming up the stairs and my husband, John, looks at me and he said, "What is it?" And I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. I couldn't stop. I said, "I don't know how to do this. I don't think I can get on an airplane. I don't think I can do anything." I just crashed. And I did have a chat with my doctor my chat with the doctor is like, "What's going on?" Like, here it's my GP, but he said, what's been happening? And so I'm like, blah, 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 you know, telling him what's been happening in my life. And he said, "Well, I think what's happened, it literally is a body keeps the score. And my body was reacting to where I hadn't let myself just take the brakes off. And I had been running hard and running hard and just trying to take care of the world and just trying to fix everything and everyone and make everything okay. I'm very much that person. And suddenly I couldn't anymore. And what I realized that for me, talking about it, getting the support that I needed, giving my body a chance to just rest and to sleep, because I probably hadn't slept well in months, maybe a year or two. And so for me, it was a physical breakdown that was attributed to really a mental crash. And I could not sustain the weight of that anymore. And I think, honestly, it was the kindness of God that just said, "Helen, you cannot carry the weight of the world. You cannot do this on
Good
your
reminder.
Own. And so when I invited others, like even for me having that weep in my husband's arms, that is not me.
Yeah.
I am not that person, but I couldn't not be. Yeah. I had to be. And I'm grateful that I have great support. And I'm at a very different place today. I did say to my doctor, "Is this me for the rest of my life?" And he goes, "No." He kind of laughed at me. Yeah. He said, no, "You'll get through this. It might take 4 or 5 or 6 months." And it didn't take that long. And I feel like I'm almost there today. But that was my story.
It's a good reminder for all of us about our body. Our body actually will give us signs if things are not
absolutely
doing well. Yeah. Karina, what about for you?
Yeah, I'm just going to say our bodies do carry our stress. And I'm not a person who frets a lot. I'm not stressed out. I don't run around worried all the time. But my body tells me when I need a rest. Everything tenses, everything builds up. As we're talking about the mental health issues we've faced in our own lives, one of the things that I think has carried into my adult life, I've tried to get it under control. I think the Lord has been working it out. But culturally, too, there's a piece, I think, for me that has been very challenging. Growing up Chinese, Canadian, you know, I was raised to not ever ask for help. I was raised to be perfect and excellent at everything, never bother other people with my troubles, and do everything well. And so that was a lot of pressure. And I don't even think I realized I lived under that kind of pressure until one day I was in university and I remember sitting there feeling like I can't do this anymore.
Wow.
You know, and it was actually great mentors in my life who came alongside me and said, "Tell me what's happening." And I did for the first time in my life. And that was actually the beginning of sort of a new day for me.
Wow.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you for sharing.
Beautiful. Sharon.
Yeah, I think Helen said something before we started in just this whole concept of like, where do we start? You know, there's always, you feel like you come in and out of mental health stuff sometimes. And for me as a pastor, it's the job that never stops. And years ago, I went through a year of tremendous loss where I lost my dad, a mentor, and a baby in 1 year. And that year, my mental health took a hit, obviously. And it wasn't just that year. Actually, years after that, I ended up losing my brother, and that triggered grief again that I'd already thought I had processed, but I really never processed because I never really had a pause. And one of the things that I threw myself into was just therapy. I realized I needed someone to help me, you know, navigate the file folders of my life, the grief, the loss. And also in ministry, you know, people come and they go. So there's a sense of loss even there. So you've got this compounded grief. And one thing I'll never forget that my therapist said is she said, "You've got to schedule time for your pain. You've got to schedule time for your pain. You schedule time for everything else. You do everything, you do the most, but you've got to schedule time for your pain." And that set me free. I really began to prioritize myself and finding help in the places that I needed regarding the grief that I was facing.
That's good. You have to take time for
your pain. You've got to schedule time.
You've got to schedule time for your pain. Wow. That's a big, yeah, I've never heard that one. That's a good one. Yeah, it's a good one.
Thank you.
I just want to unpack that even.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just like, how did you do that? What did you do? What is that? Like, that's incredible.
And for you.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, your question was, we put demands on ourselves. I have a lot of expectations and pressure that I put on myself. Mm-hmm. And I can answer this question like work or career related, but I want to take you back into a story after having my second kid, and I was probably, she's about 18 months at that point. And my expectation is that I was going to do everything in life, whether it was career, similar, Karina, maybe to your experience, but also family well. And I had received what I had always prayed for, an amazing husband, I have a boy and a girl, and it was feeling like as at the prime of life, and I didn't know myself. Mm-hmm. And I just felt so unfamiliar. And I remember walking into my closet and just crying and crying and crying. And I thought, do I have postpartum depression? Like, I wasn't sure what I was feeling. I remember a nurse saying, every 6 months, you're going to shed hormones. I'm like, what does it mean to shed hormones? And my mind was just whirling. Yeah. And so I remember just leaving the house and walking and walking and walking in the, it was very dark. It was, yeah, in the evening, and just kind of taking off and going, what am I feeling? What am I doing? What is this? I should be really happy right now that God has answered all my prayers, and I'm not. And so I too ended up going to therapy and going, what was all of this about? And one of the things that I realized is I didn't take care of myself and didn't know what I needed. Mm-hmm. And really what I needed was some time with girlfriends. Mm-hmm. I read something somewhere that every 22 days, a woman needs to go and hang out with her friends.
Yes, I have heard
some
that.
Kind of,
I think it should be like every 10 days.
I was like, wow.
Chris would say that. My husband would be like, yeah, she's like 5-10 days with
her girlfriends. But they like implemented those things, like time with friends or time to accomplish small tasks and just kind of restore who I knew myself to be. There's lots there.
I would say quickly, because I know we want to get into a Bible verse, but you know, in my late 20s, 30s, I went through the dark night of the soul. I actually went through a very dark depression. And what my therapist, counselor, said was that it was actually like a circumstantial situational overload. I had gotten hit by a transport truck. I had ended a 4-year relationship. I found my birth mother. I'd had struggles with a boss. And it overwhelmed me that my brain circuits just went, and I went dark. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness, though, for community, for those who prayed for me, for a good, you know, therapist, for vitamins, and then just simple things of like, Mel, just can you get out of the house this week? Can this week you have a shower? Simple things. And that's what got me through. But so I understand the mental health challenges when we get overwhelmed, but there's also ways of signs that, you know, can help us, and resources and scripture that can help us. And I know, Anne, you've brought a really great scripture to ground us, sort of like help us. And for those who are listening and watching, that when things get overwhelming, this is a good verse to anchor us.
Yeah, I just want to preface that I would never want to just like say to somebody, go pray.
No.
Or go read or whatever. I know that there's power in this word. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've all talked about therapy and friendships and support and mentorship. And this is one of those tools to anchor us, right? And so it's in Philippians. You've probably heard it's a familiar verse of chapter 4. I would read from 5-8, but here is 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Yeah.
Like, what are we worried about? Let's tell him about it. He wants to know. Yeah. He cares. Yeah. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I just really love this verse because it counters the anxiety with gratitude.
That's good.
It counters saying, don't be anxious about anything. Like, actually, by prayer, talk to God about it and thank him for the things that are obvious. I'm thanking him for my family. I'm thanking him for the breath in my lungs. I'm thanking him that I can get up in the morning. I'm thanking him for the things that sometimes I don't thank him for. Right? So how let your requests be known.
And how does this connect with you? Like, does this verse help you, encourage you when you're, you know, as you've gone through some challenges or thinking ahead that it might happen again.
Right.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah, this would be my go-to. Yeah. I feel like this is where I would go as well, this scripture, like whatsoever things, and it goes, are pure, are good. Yes. And I find myself, like it says in James, count it all joy. Mm-hmm. What can I count to think about? Where can I focus rather than all the focus on me and what's not happening in me? What's happening is real, and I need to bring it before God. But I just know, for me, this word can overwrite a really miserable moment in my life because I trust this more than my feelings. And I've learned how to come there and to present it before God and know that he's got me and he's going to see me through. He's never not shown up once in my life. And I know he'll do it again, but this has been my anchor verse as well.
Yeah.
Sharon, what about for you?
Yeah, it's one of those verses that you have on your mirror that you put in your office. I mean, the sticky notes everywhere, you know? And it's something that I think is probably one of the most fundamental verses that I've kind of gone back to over and over and over and over again. And just the part of him being, you know, giving peace and keeping, there's another passage of scripture that talks about he keeps us in perfect peace, we whose minds stayed steadfast on him. And this verse in particular always reminds me of the fact that, like, he is the Prince of Peace. And we can trust him. We don't have to fret. We don't have to do it ourselves, but there's one that walks alongside of us. So it's a fundamental verse for me. It's just been there all the days that I need it, you know?
When I was going through my dark night of the soul, it was that verse and Psalm 23. I had to cling to the Lord as my shepherd and walk through that in the valley, you know, lying down in the fields. And so it was those verses. And also when I couldn't read, I would also just do worship songs that sang the verses if I couldn't read and focus. And so for me, that was a key verse to help me, along with all the other things like you'd mentioned, Anne, to help me through that time.
Beautiful. I'm so glad that you mentioned the gratitude piece, because when you name your pain, that's really important, but then you have to relinquish it to God. Then you have to surrender it and you have to go to him with it. And I think that often we end up carrying far more than we need to because we haven't given thanks for the little things, you know, focusing on our lack instead of what we have as blessing. And I think this verse really reminds us that there's actually a way, maybe not out completely to the other side, but there's a way out of our anxiety, and we have to take that first step and trust God.
First step.
That's the sequel in verse 8. It's like, what are we thinking about? Are we thinking about the things that are making us anxious or the things that are true and noble and pure and lovely and excellent and praiseworthy? Can we try to reframe what we're thinking? And I think that takes time, like making the time for the pain. I think we have to make time to reframe our thoughts too.
I think that's excellent. And I think, again, we've all gone through some mental health challenges. I think when people look at us sometimes, they're like, oh, leaders and speakers and pastors, and they have it all together. It's like, no, we totally understand. We know. But what I'm really hear and want to encourage so strongly is also community. You cannot do, one of the key things that we're struggling with is isolation and loneliness. Yes. We need community. We also need prayer. And I know, Karina, you brought a beautiful prayer to kind of like end this conversation as we come to God with our needs and our struggles.
Our precious Lord Jesus, we thank you that you hear our prayers, that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees us and therefore provides everything we need. Help us to learn how to surrender all of our worries and truly cast our cares on you, that we might discover what it means more and more to stand, even often with shaky knees, the sure promises of God. Thank you for the many ways that you care for us and provide for us, and for the promise that a bruised reed you will not break. We are so thankful that you draw near to us when we draw near to you, that you give strength to the weary and hope to the hurting, binding up the wounds of the brokenhearted. May we sense the comforting presence, the power of your Holy Spirit, and may your perfect peace be the anchor of our souls, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Karina, for the prayers. Beautiful. Thank you, Anne, for bringing the verse, and Sharon and Helen for just sharing your thoughts and sharing so honestly, vulnerably, and courageously. Well, my encouragement to all of us and me is to be aware of those who are struggling and to reach out. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that in my own life, and it changed the trajectory of my life forever and for good. Mm-hmm. And so to you, our viewers and listeners, if you need support or prayer or resources to encourage you along in your journey, please go to seeherlove.com and connect with us there. And you can always reach out to us on social media platforms as well. We're here for you. And in your struggle, your wins, your challenges, your overcoming, your every day to day, choosing love and grace for you and others, always know that you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.